This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now today we're going to hear about a resource hub designed to support literacy skills of children and young people with visual impairments. Now joining us to talk about paths to literacy is content manager Lisha Jakimowicz. It is so lovely speaking with you again, Lisha.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Well, let's chat about paths to literacy. How did it come about?
So it came about 12 years ago when a group of teachers and educators from Perkins School for the Blind and Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, they noticed that a lot of great content, resources, and materials were being posted online. But then after they were posted, they kind of disappeared into the ether, never to be seen again. So this group of teachers from both of the schools decided to create a website that could be the hub that kind of collects all the wonderful resources and information so that families, educators, and interested people could come to and find it all in one spot.
So what sort of resources can we find on the website, on the hub?
There are, I myself am discovering wonderful articles and resources every day. There's over 3,000 articles for the past 12 years, and we're constantly updating them. I do probably 3 or 4 articles a week. And what you can find is if you go on the homepage on Paths to Literacy, there's different drop-down boxes, and try to stay focused because sometimes I go down a rabbit hole. And you can find things for families who might have a child who is newly diagnosed with a visual impairment and doesn't know where to start. There might be a new vision teacher fresh out of college feeling overwhelmed and they need some really good lesson plans or assessment pieces. And then you have those veteran teachers who might be going back to school to get their master's or doctorate who need some research to back up what they've been studying.
Mm. And we did speak about a lovely resource in the past, something you have written for the page, which was forest bathing, a practice or mindfulness practice that comes from Japan that involves kind of immersing yourself in nature. But you, as you said, you write quite often for Paths to Literacy. So is there anything in particular from maybe just the past few months that you're particularly proud of or you were really, you found quite fascinating researching?
So what I find the most fascinating is just connecting with other people from around the world, other vision teachers, other support staff like OTs and speech therapists, other classroom teachers that kind of connect with each other through Paths to Literacy. And it's just so interesting to find out what they're doing and what they're up to and comparing and saying, oh, I didn't know about that. I want to incorporate that into my teaching practice. So the things that I found most valuable is I'm a very practical teacher of the visually impaired. I have lots of bags of tricks, but I'm constantly learning. And it's just been a great platform for me to learn from others. And I think other people would agree when they're kind of stumped or need a little bit of something and they Google, you know, a topic. Maybe it's mathematics for the third grade visually impaired student, and a couple great lessons might pop up that is just in your wheelhouse, exactly what you're looking for. So I find that it's constantly bringing us back to Paths to Literacy. It's the first thing I do when I'm feeling a little stumped on how to design a goal or an objective for a student that is learning something. It's important to have that support system because sometimes as vision teachers, we feel out there all alone and you don't can't always collaborate with another teacher because, you know, they're busy doing their own schedule. So that honestly is the first place I go to when I want to see what else other people have done in the field of vision.
That all sounds so nice, like this collaboration. And something I have noticed on some of the resources or a lot of the resources is that as much as you might point to maybe a written resource, maybe a book, a braille book, there is a lot of practical exercises. Do you think that's really important for development of kids to kind of not focus so much on the theory, but also maybe mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because I think a lot of administrators in schools focus a lot on the paperwork of being a teacher of the visually impaired or making sure we collect sufficient data so that we can prove that we, they're learning. But as a teacher, I want to be the best teacher I can be, and I want to learn from others so that when I bring materials to students, I'm not making mistakes because I haven't had that particular kind of student before. So, I agree with you. You can get a really great lesson and adapt it to your needs. So you're saving yourself time, but also you're seeing that someone else did something that was effective enough to feel like they should be publishing it out to others. So I totally agree with you. It's a very practical, hands-on website that kind of breaks through the research and shows you how you can use it in your everyday practice.
What do you think brings the most joy to your students when you do a lesson? Is there anything in particular that whenever you have a lesson, you're like, oh, I have to absolutely include this. This is going to bring me the most engagement.
When I look at a lesson, I like to think about how the student is going to react to that lesson. I'm silly and fun, I hope, to a lot of my students. So I think just making that connection with a student and having those silly little breaks or giggling together, or when we make mistakes, we both acknowledge it and like move on from it. So that is kind of what I'm keeping in mind. Would this be a good fit for my student? Yes, we know what content they need to learn. Yes, we have our goals and objectives. But if I'm bringing this lesson to them, are they going to enjoy the experience? Because finding a love of learning is the most important thing we want to give to our students. So when I give these lessons to my students, it's something I'm excited about teaching. So hopefully they will be energized by it and want to learn more.
And working on the website for a while now, have you noticed perhaps how it has changed over the years, or has it changed a lot, or is it still fairly similar, just a lot more resources available?
Yeah, I think that resources available was a good point that you just stated. So years ago, we felt more isolated, and now we get instant gratification from, just not just the website, but also, the internet and touching people on social media with some good ideas on past illiteracy. It's bringing us together at a quicker pace. You can trust the website. It's really good content. And you don't have to back it up and find three other references to it. You have it all right there in front of you.
Well, let's chat about your social media. What are your handles and what is the website address?
So if you go to pastilliteracy.org, that'll take you to our homepage. You just Google it or whatever search engine you like to use. Instagram, it's pas.2.literacy. And that's also for Facebook and Twitter.
Well, Alicia Yakimowicz from Paths to Literacy, it's been so lovely speaking about your resource hub, and thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.